Hey everybody, Rob here and getting you ready for a very special episode. I got a feed drop here of something that is normally only heard by the patrons of a Rob Has a Podcast. This is our Survivor Academy where we try to focus on what the future players of Survivor should be learning from every episode of the season. This is normally in our patron podcast feed, but with the finale coming up on Wednesday, I thought it might be a good time to put some more Survivor content into our main podcast feed. And so the patrons got this a little bit earlier, but for everybody, check out Mari Forth from the Wrestling Rehab Up and the Crime Scene Rehab Up joining me to talk about everything that we learned this week on Survivor. Hope you enjoy this free preview of Survivor Academy and check it out every week when we come back with our next Survivor season and everything else in our Patreon podcast feed at robisthewebsite.com/patron. Welcome back, students. Once again, we are here at Survivor Academy as we are getting ready for the Survivor finale this week. And we have another great guest lecturer here with us. We have another one of our amazing RHAP podcasters. Of course, you could hear this woman every week talking about wrestling with Matt Scott on the Wrestling Rehab Up and on the newly renewed Crime Scene Rehab Up, where she is breaking down a different true crime property every week with Sarah Carradine over on Crime Scene. Please welcome in Mari Forth. Mari, how are you?
Hi, Rob. It's more like a guest TA. Like, I'm like here, I'm teaching, but I'm still learning from you. So It's like it's definitely a TA style thing. I'm the cool one.
That yes, the kids can like relatable. Sure, sure. Yes. So true. And Mari, I feel like that we can really dip into some of your skill sets here because, you know, every episode of Survivor is a mystery. Sometimes it's a true crime. How did this happen? Putting all the pieces together and trying to figure out the mystery. And then, of course, like, you know, it has been like long discussed the many similarities between professional wrestling and Survivor.
I mean, that's all jury has become now. It's like showboating. It's puffing your chest. It is a spectacle. That is what these tribal councils have really turned into. It just showboating for the jury.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'm here for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's always fun to talk about just like all the similarities, both like in the game and then also like out of the game of who has a catchphrase and who's over and all sorts of stuff like that. But, you know, the thing that has been a little bit like on my mind is just sort of like a big part of all the storylines in wrestling is always like a betrayal. Somebody was their somebody's partner and then they turned on them. And then they want, you know, they felt like that they were being disrespected or this was going to be their chance for glory. And they turn on a partner. And we have that, you know, a lot in this season.
Yeah. Modern trope of wrestling and apparently Survivor. It's you make your alliance, you have to turn on them. But how will they receive when you turn on them? Like, and this has been a season of like good sports. Like people have, it's been a really like good sportsmanship style season. And you love to see it.
We love to see it. But I do want to admit that, you know, in terms of like some of the social media stuff that is coming out, maybe a little bit like skin deep on that stuff. But I do want to just say at the top of the show here, as we're going to talk through everything with Survivor, Mari and Matt over on the Wrestling Rehab Up have a really great episode of everything that's going on in the WWE in light of everything going on with Sasha Banks and Naomi and that whole situation. So I definitely, if you haven't checked out the Wrestling Rehab Up and you want to know what's going on, because I know my timeline has been trending topics, hashtag Sasha Banks, hashtag Vince McMahon, hashtag Pat McAfee.
Yep. All week. Yeah. All week it's been a trending topic. Like the power, like that is insane. But yes, we did a great, great job breaking down everything you need to know with this week's biggest news about Sasha Banks and Naomi walking out and then effectively being suspended indefinitely. Even if you don't know who those two people are, it's a very powerful episode that me, Matt, and a close friend of mine, Havan Baraka, was the guest this week. And it was a good one. It was a good one in a bad situation. We broke down what's going on from our point of view, for a point of view that not a lot of wrestling journalists are really taking in consideration, especially with the main two people centered in this controversy are two Black women. So it was a hard episode this week, but I feel like we said what we had to say. So please go check it out. Rob has a website.com/wrestlingfeed if you already haven't subscribed.
Okay, Mari, we haven't gotten to talk during Survivor 42. Overall, how are you feeling about this season as we're closing in on the end?
This season has been great. And so it's very interesting because I love the back-to-backness of season 41 and 42. I was kind of like, I don't know how I feel about the twist being like so by numbers. Like, we saw exactly here on 41. This is exactly where it is at 42. I like the consistency of it, but it's very interesting how we have two different casts, and in two different casts, some of the same situations happen. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, if the twists stay consistent and then the cast reactions to them are consistent, then I don't want to see these again. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because I don't want to see a third season of the same thing, like between the talks about like racial division and how things are going to be taken, to like the knowledge is power advantage, both times being gooped and gagged under the person who got it, which I'm like, oh, I want to see that thing work once, please. Mm-hmm. It's just very interesting that it's like new cast, kind of the same type of unfolding. However, I do think this cast, I think Evie said it, like, unfortunately, cast of 41, we didn't get to really appreciate them because we were trying to figure out the game. Now with cast of 42, we know exactly what the game is going to be, so we're appreciating the cast more. But I think the cast has done wonderfully. I wonder if it's between 41 and 42, and because of now the layout of the game, if that is what's giving us all these votes, these vote switching, these voting blocks, you know, whatever you want to call it. It definitely feels like we haven't had a strong alliance go in and steamroll for these past two seasons. So I am really liking it. I'm kind of interested. I don't follow the spoilers. So for 43, I'm kind of interested on what they're going to do.
Yeah. I don't think that is out there yet. I know that if you follow it closely, that the names of the cast is out there for Survivor 43, but we don't know anything. I mean, and again, I'm not like, in the weeds on that stuff, but in terms of like, what's like widely known, we don't know what the theme or anything like that is. I can't imagine that we're gonna do like, again, run this same format back of the, 41, 42 format exactly. But I could see where they like, okay, we have a bunch of new ideas and we're gonna do all the same new ideas in 43 and 44.
Oh, if they were smart, they would just kind of pick and choose which ones they think work the best.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll talk about it, but I think this amulet joint was a flop.
Okay. Well, now we kind of are able to look at it now that it's over, and we could talk about that. Let's talk about the amulet overall, and then let's just talk about like, now what can a future player learn from, how this amulet all worked out?
Okay. Yeah. So we start off, I think this was a high point of the premiere for me.
Yeah.
When we got Hi, Drea, Lindsay finding this amulet. They're like, oh, it's nothing to you, but also here's some blood, smear some blood on you. And then Hi went like way too overboard. Like, I thought that was the funniest thing. I thought it was really cool. I was like, okay, so these three people can either choose to work together or they can actively target each other. Okay, that's very interesting. But, and they were all on different tribes. But it just kind of truly never, at least in the show, I don't think they gave it its proper due as to if that was the main motivations. Because so, like, by the time they get to merge, all three of them make it to merge, which is great. Like, it would have been an even floppier flop if they didn't even make it to merge, I feel like, to me. What do you think, Rob? Do you think it would have been more effective if maybe, like, one of them had gone before merge?
I wonder if that, because the thing that was the lamest part of it was that their three things together was going to be an extra vote. I felt like that, had one of them gone out like pre-merge, say like, you know, say Lindsay went out pre-merge. Then when you get to the merge and it's now Drea and Hai and they have a vote steal, like I think that that might have been like a little bit more interesting of like, could they have used it at some point
together,
potentially together, and sort of you just have like two random people having like a shared advantage from opposite tribes. Like, I think that that probably would have been more interesting. I asked Hai in his exit interview about like, you know, did like the amulet advantage people, like, were they really working closely together? And it didn't really seem like while Hai was working with Drea, it didn't seem like that Hai had too much going on game wise with Lindsay. So I don't even think that the amulet really bonded those three together. It was just sort of like, you know, something that was there. I don't think it really impacted the game up until the point it got down to two. And then, you know, I think that Lindsay was really on board to get Drea out after, the, you know, the opportunity presented itself where Lindsay felt like, OK, well, now I can have an idol. But even at that, it was only one vote that she had the idol for and she didn't even end up playing it.
Exactly. Which is very annoying, because also it was kind of presented to us before that, though, that Lindsay and Drea were lockstep. You know what I'm saying? So like when they voted out high, they were like maniacally laughing, like, haha, well, now it's a vote still. You know, they were already maniacally laughing. So it was kind of like, OK, so they're close. But then the next episode is like, OK, Lindsay's down to get rid of Drea. So you're assuming that her main motivation is because she's like, I have to have this idol because I know next week is the only week I can use it, you know. And but they never explicitly said that. I guess it's because at that point, Lindsay was just praying she didn't die in the do or die twist, I guess. But then we get Drea out. Lindsay has this immunity idol. You can only use it at six. You can only use it at six, but she wins the regular immunity and then decides not to use it.
Yeah.
Because she said, you know, we don't know the mechanics. If I use this idol, then it could go back into play. Girl, you do not have an idol. You have an amulet. You don't have an idol.
Yeah.
So I get this as a new twist, but you can't outthink yourself in this type of game. You can't overthink it, you know? You can't try and outthink the producers.
Right.
Because you're never going to win that.
And I think it's twofold also. Here? No, you're absolutely correct about that. I think that also that her and Omer felt like, well, we're going to reveal ourselves as a pair if I play the amulet on Omer, and we're trying to still tell Jonathan we're with him. But you're voting out Mike. Like, Jonathan's going to know you're not with him. It was too cute. Yeah.
It was too cute. But wait, in that vote, they were voting Jonathan out.
I'm sorry. They were like, I said it backwards. We're telling Mike that we're still with him. And then I think what they were afraid of was that then at the final five, when they had no idols, Mike and Marianne and Romeo were going to vote together against one of them and not work with them at the final five. That's what their concern was. But guess what? Now Omer's not in the final five, and Lindsay, you know, may well be the person who gets voted out at the final five.
Exactly. Right. That's tomorrow. Yeah. That's tomorrow's problem. Work on today.
Yeah.
But not only that. Okay. I can see, like, you might be like, oh, we don't want to be seen as a pair, whatever. But also the biggest thing is, like, you don't get credit for that, though. You know what I'm saying? You don't get credit. So Lindsay, you were in on the votes to get out both Hai and Drea so that you can, quote unquote, use this amulet as an idol. But then you don't use that amulet in front of the jury. You got to remember, this is the error of doing things in front of the jury. So even if you have to save Omer and you think it might like not be good for your game, I'm sorry, but that's a good move to make in front of the jury, saving somebody. Standing up and being like, I have this immunity on my neck and I have this immunity in my pocket. It's only good for today. I'm going to give it to Omer. You know what I'm saying? Like, who cares of anything after that? Because you have successfully dictated the vote for that night. You have immunity. Omer has immunity. At that point, Mike and Jonathan have to scramble. You know, Marianne, they don't know about Marianne's plan to vote out Omer, but Marianne now has to figure out what she wants to do. Romeo probably goes out here. Yeah, like, or Jonathan. I think you go, maybe Marianne and Romeo go with Jonathan. Doesn't matter. what matters is Lindsay took away a choice and she dictated the vote and she did it in front of the jury. She can say, I didn't need it tonight, but you know, I'll spread the wealth, you know? So I just think she also missed an opportunity to go up in points with the jury.
Yeah.
If that's misfire, the main thing we're going to get from. Yeah. And then you can say, you're like, I took out Drea. So there's no point in not using it. Let me use it. You know, you got to factor in showboating, even if it doesn't, like, I think you and Mary are kind of talking about it. If you have an idol, but even if you play it wrong, it might be better than just keeping it or whatever. But I still think showing that you are at least dictating a portion of the vote, and even better, you have two immunities. You want the jury to see that. I don't understand how you don't want them to see that, especially if it also came with taking out two other people. Yep. Like, that was my biggest gripe. Like, it was like, not only did you not save your closest ally, but you also didn't get the brownie points for it.
Yeah, really good point on, you know, what Lindsay could have done better. What about for a future player? Okay, so I guess, do we think this will come back?
Maybe. I think, I mean, because they didn't, it didn't come up. It didn't show.
It wasn't a big thing, yeah.
Yeah. So maybe they're like, okay, let's run it back one more time. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Because, yeah, this is one of the only twists that wasn't on 41. So, you know, having it roll over.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Having this one roll over, that would make sense to me. What a future player should do. Rob, I truly don't know. It's, well, like, let's, you just
talk
hope
it through. Yeah.
Yeah. You hope somebody gets voted out early so that that's one less person you have to deal with when you get to the merge.
Mm-hmm. Just from a mechanics of the game perspective, that do you think that it would have been better if that three people, when you, there are three people working together, it's an idol. And then when it's only one person left, like, should they have, like, changed the motivations where, like, is it more interesting that, okay, the most powerful thing is if three random people can agree to use this idol at a certain point, as opposed to, you know, three random people gunning for each other for no reason who are on other tribes? Because I think that it might be interesting where if you have, like, when you get to the merge and these people who've never met each other have, like, are randomly trying to work together, that might be, like, another way to sort of, like, you know, create more randomness in the game where it's like, wait, why? Like, it's almost like there's, like, a fourth tribe of these three people trying to work together, as opposed to, like, of course the people from the different tribes are going to be trying to get out the other people from other tribes. Like, that's sort of like, you're just sort of like putting a bounty on people.
I like that. I do. I like that. It's, it's you know, my Big Brother equivalent. You want to create a Team America on Survivor, basically.
Yeah. you know, because people love Team America, Mari.
They did. Yeah. No, that, I think that would actually be cooler, only because you're trying to actually keep people together. And then you're right. I think it would be better if you introduce that twist at the merge as opposed to pre-merge, because if you do it at the beginning of the game and you say all three of you guys need to be there to play an idol, then you have no control. I guess the biggest thing is when you're walking into the challenge and you're looking at the other tribe, like, you know, trying to see who got voted out. But I like that mechanic. I think it would be way more compelling because you give these people this advantage. They have there's no reason as to why they should stick their neck out for that person. If they get an advantage, if they leave.
Yeah. So if you are a person, let's say you're in Survivor 44 and you get one of the amulets, and say it's the same rules as in this season, do you feel like, is there anything that we should be, like, taking away in terms of, like, telling the other players, or how much do you want to try to be working with the other players to try to use the thing? Are you incentivized to maybe get it out of the game? So you don't have a bounty on your, like, hey, like, let's try to talk to the other players into, let's just use the extra vote. And it's also like, you know, if you use the extra vote and use it effectively, that could be like a good, like, building block to, like, for having a relationship with those people.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, it's like, let's just try and get the guys. We don't need an idol. Let's just get this actual. But also, I wonder if a way of this might be too cute, but could you tell the tribe? Like, I did not like you guys pointed out. I did not like Lindsay really telling Mike and Omer about the amulets because again, it was also high in Drea's secrets at that point as well. So I don't really like when other people are out other people's advantages. However, with this advantage, is it better to kind of like tell people? Because like, if you're telling people like, hey, the less of the three of us there is, the stronger we get, would they be like, well, then we don't want to really vote you out because we don't want you to have a stronger advantage? That might just be too cute. But I definitely think the best course of action is to try and see if you can get your other two tribe mates.
Yeah.
The other two tribe, the people in that amulet situation to get rid of it as soon as possible.
Yeah, it might not be a bad idea, Mari, to tell some other people about it because, yeah, while it might hurt you, but it also might add like a layer of protection of like just by. So, by the way, like if Drea or Hai like starts talking about like voting me out, just know like we have an advantage. And so like, yeah, if you go with their plan to vote me out, like they're getting a vote steal. So just remember that could backfire against you because it's now like, okay, well now like we don't want to vote out hey, we want that power with us, with our group. So let's get them out instead.
Yeah, exactly. And that could be a way you leverage it. Like you can either get rid of me. I'm your close ally, you know, and they get the power, or you work with me. We get rid of one of them. And then like but you have to be like on cahoots with them. It's hard, yo.
It's hard.
This is a hard.
Okay. So a little bit in that vein. I want to talk a little bit about when Mike told Marianne about Lindsay having the advantage. And I do think that Mike did it in a way that was, you know, I thought that Mike had like a pretty you know, did a really good job working with Marianne, and the way that he sort of like gave that information to Marianne, like he didn't like come out and just straight up say it, but he talked about that and then like really like played up like, oh, you didn't know? I thought you would have known. I thought Lindsay was your ally. I'm like, I can't believe she didn't tell you that. That's crazy. And then, you know, and you saw Marianne was, you know, emotional about it. She was very, she was very upset. Like, I can't believe, you know, they're keeping secrets. Now Marianne's keeping secrets from Lindsay too. Doesn't tell them about the idol, but you know, Marianne thought she knew what was going on. But I think that like a big theme of like these two seasons in a row is, you know, that telling people, when is the right time to tell people about what idols and advantages you have? And I think we should like try to figure out a way, because there is like, we've seen people get burned by the like knowledge is power and telling the wrong person about a thing. But also, if people discover you had a thing and you weren't the person to tell them, then that also like creates like animosity between people.
Yeah, it does. And I agree, and I'm not trying to backtrack, but like that knowledge is power advantage. I don't understand how you don't keep all of that to yourself, like all of it. Like I would never tell a single, that seemed like the one advantage. Literally, it tells you knowledge is power. Like it's not just your knowledge, but the knowledge of the people around you. Like how is that, what is not clicking for the people who use it? It's just kind of like, you know, shout out to Drea and, Liana. But like I
say something with that like with Drea, like and it seems to me like what a big part of Survivor here in the new era is like you have very little time to get anything done, and so they go do the do or die and they come back and it's like, okay, well now, all right, now we're trying to figure out like what the vote plan is going to be. And I think that Drea is like quickly trying to tell Omer, hey, tonight, all right, here's the plan. You know, we're gonna vote out Mike. And Omer's like, you know, well, Mike's got an idol. We can't do that. She's like, no, we can. And so, like, she, like, the shorthand is like, I got a thing. I'm going to steal its idol. It's fine. And because I think of, like, just, like, the accelerated time frame, like, the shot clock on what they have to do is, like, so accelerated that I think it causes for, like, you know, there's not a lot of room for her to, like, really, like, craft a longer story that doesn't involve just like explaining what the advantage she's going to have that they can execute on the plan she wants to do.
Yeah, I get that. And I truly get that. It's just hard. It's really hard because I really want to see that one work one day, you know? And it just
you
sucks.
Do?
Like, I do. Like, I actually want to see somebody be like, "Oh, you stole my idol." I wanted Drea's plan was so great. Like, I wanted her to steal his idol and play it for herself. Mm-hmm. And then, like, that's another thing. Like, I get she was trying to like flip the votes onto Mike, but she said she had a weird gut feeling that it was going to be on her. So just steal the idol, play it on yourself, and you vote for Mike, and then kind of let the chips fall where they might. You know, if everybody voted for you, so I want to see that. I want to see somebody steal the idol and play it that night. What, on themselves and save themselves.
Yeah. What I would love to see is like the person who is sort of like, you know, scams the scammer of like in a season where there is like a knowledge power is back. And then, you know, you tell like if either Liana or if Drea could have gotten just like one more step ahead where and maybe, you know, maybe it was there more for Liana than for Drea to know, okay, that people know that I have this thing. And so obviously they're going to give the thing to somebody else. And then, but the thing is, you'd have to be able to figure out, like, maybe if somebody had like such a super close ally that you would know, okay, this is the obvious person they're going to give the thing to be like, yeah. Omer, do you have an idol? What? Nope. How did you know?
That would be cool. Or Omer having Mike's idol, voting Mike out, and mm-hmm. then using his idol. Like, I think any of those options would have been better than just you handed it to your ally, you avoided the knowledge is power, and your ally handed it right back to you.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so we weren't even on knowledge is power. What were we talking about?
Yeah, but I wonder if like just for a future player, like could you, if you had the knowledge is power and the information is out there, could you sort of like, you know, signal like the time that you're going to use it, like really sort of like let them think that they are on to you, and then mm-hmm. be able to deduce who is holding the idol that night and then steal it from that person. Like that would be really exciting.
That'd be cool. Yeah. Yeah. It's either keep it to yourself or try and play it up and then try and figure out where to land on.
Right.
And man, I just one day. Mm-hmm. One day. Yeah. Yeah. That's our tips. Like try and keep it to yourself or try and big brain it. It's mm-hmm. but that feels like like three card Monty. That feels like you're trying to like, mm-hmm. Where did it go? I love it. But I also want this type of thing where it's like, oh, knowledge is power, but also you guys said it, but like knowing where three idols are is very like, it's counterintuitive when you have to say all these catchphrases for the idol. And then we know that three people have the idol. And then we've seen it. It's like, it's actually slowed idol play because people know who has the idol, so they're kind of dancing around.
And there's an idol nullifier also.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, there's an idol nullifier. Like, what is the point of having it where you have to tell everybody you have an idol, and then you put in two different twists that can either take the idol or nullify the idol? It's like, do you want idol play Survivor, or do you don't? Like, where mm-hmm. are we at here with this idol play? But I think you were correct when you said it's just kind of encouraging blindsides. And that's what Jeff wants. Jeff wants blindsides on blindsides on blindsides.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, it really, you know, that Survivor, I think, is like, you know, professional wrestling of, you know, they just want like, you know, these big pops in Tribal Council where, you know, it's like, oh, I can't believe that just happened. And when you've had, what, 400, 500 Tribal Councils, you know, you sort mm-hmm. of like in the same way with a wrestling match, you want it to have something that, you know, people, the crowd has never seen before. And it doesn't necessarily matter if it makes a ton of sense. That I think if, you know, you're giving people sort of like, oh my God, like that's what, that's really what they're going for with all of this. It's not necessarily like, and I hate to say it, like, because it's not like necessarily like what the super fans are going for, where we want to see like a really strategic game that we can really sort of like, okay, figure out everything of what's next, and sort of like really understand it. I hate to say it, like, you know, they're just looking for like these like big moments.
Moments. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Rob, I do have a question. When did they start letting the idols go to Final Five? I thought it was always six at one point.
I'm trying to think if it was at six. I feel like that it was. I'm trying to think if there was a point when they changed it to six, but I know I think that five was always the point where it went up until, and maybe six was the point where six had like the legacy advantage, and for a lot of there's a lot of like advantages that seem to go to six, but the idols have gone to five, and famously, you know, Suri has like advantage getting at six,
right?
But that's six, because Sarah Lucina had the legacy advantage that she played at six, which also then three idols came out, and then I think Brad had the immunity necklace, so that got five people. And in this season, you know, they had the amulet going to six, and the shot in the dark went to six. I think it went to seven last season. I think they let it go to six this season. But we could have potentially had an advantage get in at Final Five, where we would have had, you know, if Lindsay's idol went to five, plus Mike is safe, and also Marianne has an idol, and say Jonathan won immunity, you know, Romeo or Omer could have been advantage get in out of the game at five. So I think that was a good call, at least to thinking about this stuff, to not have the shot in the dark and the amulet potentially go to six when we have all these idols still in the game.
Okay, yeah, because that's the first thing I think of. I think of advantage getting being six.
Yes.
And knowing that half of those advantages were idols. So I just assumed that that was the last time they could use their idols.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, because when they kept saying, oh, I can use my idol at five, I'm like, that to me kind of seems OP. That kind of seemed overpowered. Like, you know, maybe,
especially when you have the Final Four fire making. I think this was something that came up in season 35, where it's like, okay, Ben had idol. Okay. And then it was, and then on top of that, then at Final Four, you have a fire making. So, you know, we never had a chance to get a guy who had an idol every time.
Exactly. And that's why I'm just kind of like, and especially now in this new era where it's like, again, people knew Mike had his idol this whole time and they just let him rock. Like, it's just kind of like, okay, so you're just going to let him rock all the way to the Final Four, and then we'll figure it out from there. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that Marianne kept her second idol secret.
Yes.
Because that target that she had on the back from having the original idol, you know, and having to give it up in that powerful moment when it was like she technically shouldn't have had to give it up at that tribal council that she gave it up with Drea, but she did it in solidarity and to like kind of shush the haters that of course didn't shush. So her finding that second idol the next day, she's like, you know, the blessing and all of that. And to keep it to herself, I thought is very smart, because now she has Mike willing to, apparently he's willing to play it for her at the next tribal council.
Yeah, let's talk about that. And one other note on Marianne with her idol. I believe Marianne is probably the only person in two seasons where has found an idol and nobody else knows about it. And let's see, like, if she's able to really leverage that at the Final Five, that the idea of like being, you know, just coming out with an idol that nobody knew she had like this late in the game, and if she's able to like make one more big move with it. But yeah, you brought up Mike telling Marianne that he's going to play his idol for Marianne. He also told Omer, hey, this is my idol. Now it's our idol. We're going to play it. Yep. This is our idol. We're going to play it for everybody.
So this means that Mike, it means nothing, because he told Omer that first, and then he, for the rest of the episode, he kind of like, you know, he pushed Marianne in a direction to target Omer. And then he's promising it to Marianne. The funniest thing to me is like, what if he actually did? Like, what if Marianne was able to convince him to like use his idol on her, right? And then she stands up and then uses her idol on somebody.
On somebody else. Okay. Like on Romeo. They're like, okay, I'm like, I don't think that Mike will use. I think he'll try to like back out and say like, look, if you were going home, I would have used the idol on you, but you're not, you're fine. Oh, you're safe.
I'm sorry to the students. Like, this is doing too much Academy today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it would be like, wrong. Yeah, an all-time double cross. If Marianne,
so cool.
If Marianne said, please, like, use your idol on me tonight, Mike, to only vote Mike out of the game.
That would be the gagoonery. That would be the biggest shock ever, because how do you get somebody to use an idol on you and then just, but yeah. I love this. I love this fact that I just want Marianne to be able to leverage her idol as big as possible in the next tribal. But honestly, just getting yourself to fours is good enough as well, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It'll be interesting that Marianne's idol here going into this round where, you know, I've wondered in a season where so many times people have said, okay, the person who makes a big move, now they have to be the next person to go. Marianne just made what is seemingly the biggest move of the game. Do the players say, all right, well, we thought Marianne, you know, might not have like a lot of sway with this jury. Now she's got to go. And then could you imagine they put all the votes on Marianne, and then Marianne saves herself with an idol that nobody knew about at the final five.
Mm-hmm. And then, but who does she take out at that point? Because it's really interesting to me, this final five. I do like it because it's almost like the meta has reversed, or maybe is it the meta has reverted back to, like, you know, Ozzy makes it to the end with Yule by like basically beasting, but they still give it to Yule. And then in the middle stretch of the 30s, we was just giving Mike and Ben, like, oh, if you can idle your way to the end, it doesn't matter if the person you're sitting next to completely orchestrated the game the whole time, Christy. Mm-hmm. We're just going to give it to Ben, you know? And I like that in these last two seasons, we've gotten so many super fans that to the point where it's like they let Xander just walk to the end with an idol, basically, and he sat there and received like, because they're like, we don't care. We don't care about competitions anymore. We don't really care if you immunity yourself to the end. It's about what did you do socially and strategically. So watching Jonathan at this point, I'm like, I just think Jonathan is a big goat. Maybe I wonder if somebody should coin a different term. Let's coin a term for like the comp beast that goes to the end and gets no votes. Get on that.
Like the workhorse, that's an ox. Yeah.
An ox.
Yeah. I think Penner said in the Philippines where he said that he said to Mike Scoopin and Lisa, he said that I feel like Denise, you were like oxen.
There it is. There it is. Bring the oxen to the end. And that's how big Jonathan is. So, like, I can't imagine Jonathan could kind of just sit in there because nobody respects him at this point. That's what I'm getting. I don't know. But that's what it kind of seems like.
Yeah.
Is Lindsay then the next threat to Marianne? Like, if I'm like at Marianne, if I'm thinking from Marianne's point of view, is it Lindsay or is it Mike? Like, I'm really surprised that they're letting Mike get this close to the end as well, because he's very likable.
Yes.
He, as opposed to Jonathan, he truly has kind of worked with everybody, but he's also kind of backstabbed everybody.
Yeah. He could get crossed up in, like, if he really tries to play up the, like, you know, my game was loyalty, and they were like, well, about that. So
we're still removing these knives.
Yeah. I talked it through with Mike on the feedback show about, like, that
we actually podcast.
Yeah, very long podcast. One of the things we did talk about was, you know, if Marianne was in the finals with Mike, we actually had Marianne getting 7 of the votes.
Oh, nice.
With Marianne, with the only vote potentially being Jonathan for Mike out of that that whole group. And I think we said that Roxroy was like a little bit of a toss up of, you know, that he seemed to have like a bond with Mike. But also on the night that Roxroy went out, he talked about how he was really proud of Drea and Marianne. Because he sat and watched that tribal council where they both played their idols. And so I think it could go either way for Roxroy. But like, we had Marianne winning comfortably. If Marianne's not in the final three, I do think that Mike has a pretty good chance, especially if it's Mike, Jonathan, Romeo. I think that that's the best draw for Mike.
For Mike. Yeah, I agree. So do we think Lindsay is dead in the water here then?
So if Lindsay gets to the end with you know, any of the other guys, like, I think Lindsay would lose to Marianne, but I think it would be close. I think that Lindsay is Marianne's biggest competition. For the win. But if Lindsay gets to the end with the guys, I think that Lindsay would be the winner.
Gotcha. Yep, I agree. I think I just like this kind of combination of the final five, because I think you have three people who, like, I think Lindsay, Marianne, and Mike are all can comfortably win, and I would love for any of the three of them to win. You know, you know, I have a ranking, but I think that, I think the three of them would be like good representatives of the season, and then you just kind of have Romeo and Jonathan who are there. And I don't even know if we're getting off subject here, but I do like the next that the scenes of the next on is that, like, the little maze, like the station style challenge where it's like you got to run to one station, come back, run to the. I love those type of challenges. So I'm really excited for the finale, but I say all that to say, I really think that next week we're having at least two idols and then the immunity. So that's at least three people that will be immune next week. So I really want to see, what happens there. And I do think it'll hinge on Marianne's secret idol. I can't imagine it doesn't hinge on her secret idol. Right? Like,
yeah, either she will, like, she could either use it to make a big move and save somebody. She could be targeted and then, you know, save somebody else. I've also, like, talked about the idea of, should Marianne try and get voted out this week? Where
I was thinking she, that, too.
Like, you know, again, it's like a little bit of, like, a Brant Steele scenario where it's like, you know, if Marianne is, like, you know, wakes up everybody in the middle of the night and is, like, banging on pots and pans and is like, you know what? I'm tired of you people. I mean, again, it might shoot her in the foot with the jury, but is there some way that she could sort of, like, you know, try to get people to put, like, we saw, I think that people wondered if Denise kind of did this in the final six of Winners at War, where it's like, hey, I'm ready to go home tonight. Like, I guess it's my time. Where I think that a couple people were, like, a little salty with, I think Nick especially was salty with Denise of, like, hey, that was a dirty trick of you made me think you were going out. And then, ultimately, you know, you weren't going home. You had an idol.
With this cast, I think all Marianne has to really do is just be like, oh, that move last night. Oh, I'm so great. You know, talk it up around camp, kind of like Oprah did.
I'm sorry, Mara. I don't think Denise had an idol. I think that they Denise said she was going home, and I think they just voted Nick out.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Because I was like, the only idols I remember her playing were to get rid of Sandra.
Yes, like, you know, I had that. Right. I think she spent her fire tokens to be like, oh, I guess I'm going out tonight, so let me buy rice for everybody.
Yeah. No, I could definitely see Marianne trying to get the votes on herself if she wants that big flashy move. I think it comes down to who wins immunity too. I think it's going to be Lindsay and Jonathan. I mean, honestly, at this point, it's just Lindsay or Jonathan. Who's going to win immunity?
Right. One of those two. Flip a coin.
Yeah. And Jonathan has not been great at the puzzles.
No.
He's been so bad at the puzzles.
Yeah.
And with the kind of challenge that's coming up next week, I can definitely see Lindsay winning it. You know,
yeah,
I could see her winning it.
And there will also be an advantage that will, if it's the same as 41, in the beginning of the episode, it'll be the players, like, will get, like, a map to, like, an advantage. And then the advantage, which is what Erica ended up finding last season, will be, like, a big advantage in the challenge. So that could potentially, like, you could see maybe, you know, if a Romeo or a Marianne, like, get the advantage, like, and get through the main part of the challenge quicker and can get to the puzzle faster, maybe you could see, like, an unlikely winner for the final five immunity.
Yep, you're right. I forgot about that. And that makes sense as to the cutaways we got last week of, like, people, Lindsay searching. But they had that voiceover of her searching for the idol. But I think you're right. I think it's searching for that advantage.
Yeah. All right, I want to ask you about just Marianne's game as we start to get to looking at potentially the finale and her, I think it's fair to say, having the best shot to win this thing as we go into Wednesday night. And I just want to know, like, for a future player. For our students, is there anything that we could be learning about what Marianne has done well this season?
Yeah, it's kind of tough because Marianne is coming, she's very much surging at the end here, but it was kind of like you said, they weren't sharing much information with her once they came into this merge. Like, she came into the merge with what you would have thought was a strong four, like, from her tribe, but then at the merge, like, eight people came together to kind of start to, like, dictate the order of people leaving. Mm-hmm. And she kind of was just at least it made it feel like that she was just kind of avoiding the chopping block every week. But I don't want it to sound like she wasn't doing anything in those first weeks. I just think that she wasn't running the game. However, a wise man once said, like, while somebody was building a shelter, I was building alliances. And I think that's exactly what Marianne was doing. She was building relationships to keep her in the game further and further because her original tribe still felt they had her in their pocket. So they're trying to make sure that she wasn't the one to go each one of those weeks.
It's it's interesting. Yeah. Like at the final eight in this season, that there was like a thought of like a group came together and it was a group that was like, hey, we're like the strong challenge people of like, Jonathan and Drea and Mike and Hi and Lindsay and and Roxroy and Owen. Omer got in there also because it was like, hey, we're the people that are going to be like, hey, we're not going to let the people who aren't the challenge threats like get together and work against us. And Marianne got lucky with the vote where Omer saved her at the merge. Like that, like Jonathan and Lindsay were like, hey, what about Marianne? And Omer was like, no. And ultimately, Marianne gets Omer out of the game. But you saw her like talk. She talks to Tori. She talks to Romeo. Like she's talking to Lydia. Also, I remember she was like, "Hey, we're the people like with the old lady names." So she kept up like her good social game, even though she was kind of like closer to the bottom. She did have like the Taku four. Which also helped her that she was in the group that like wasn't like cannibalizing each other, but she never went into sort of like panic mode like Romeo did. And she kept up like all of her social bonds where even if she was not seen as somebody who was powerful in the game, I think she was always like well liked among the other people in the tribe.
I agree. And that could be, you can use anything to just get you to the next few days. And I truly think that she did a great job of everybody wanting to like have her as their piece. Mm-hmm. They might have been looking at her as a pawn, but at least everybody wanted her as their pawn. And when you don't have the power at that point, that is a great place to start, you know, to build towards power. So she definitely did a great job there. And I'm just astounded how like her tribe goes into the merge with four people and then it doesn't even register for them to like legit roll together. Mm-hmm. But they kind of like break off into smaller groups. Yeah. I love that. I love that we don't get that whole, oh, well, this is my tribe. But then it still kind of broke down for them for that because they got rid of blue and green, all the other people.
Yeah.
And the Taku four were still standing until this week, right?
Yeah, and it's interesting, but I think because they all went in with four, it wasn't like that Taku was seen as like, oh, well, they came in with numbers. It's like they kind of did because they were all like working together. And I think that probably like, Jonathan and Lindsay, we certainly saw like thought Marianne was expendable. Omer like wanted to keep her around more. But the other groups of four were like, hey, we don't like Chanel. Like, we don't like Tori. Romeo is, he's freaking out. Like the other four were like more willing to like get rid of their numbers. And Taku was like, okay, fine. Let's go with your plan rid of your people.
When Taku was like, that's why I was like, I was surprised they weren't the target because they were smashing all of those like tribe challenges. So yeah, you're right. They were on the same numbers, but I just thought they were the instant threat. But like you said, everybody else hated each other, so that worked.
That worked out, and they were able to sort of like, you know, stick together. And then in the season where I think that Marianne really benefited from, okay, then the big moves started happening. Yes. Where, you know, High went out and Drea went out. And then what they didn't see coming was like, here's Marianne, and she tweeted out a meme this week.
Yes.
Of, did you see it? Like, it's like I don't know what it's called.
Church. Yeah,
the church pew, where I think it was like, you know, Chanel was in the front row with High, mm-hmm. with the, you know, gun behind her, yep. with Omer with the gun behind him. And then mm-hmm. she's up with the sniper rifle up in the balcony, with a target on Omer.
Yep, exactly. And yes. And so to me, it also brings up a question of, because like, from what we understand, like Drea and Lindsay were kind of close, but you know, Lindsay forfeited Drea, right? And then like Mike and High were close, but Omer convinced Mike to get rid of High because they kept saying like, but they're a threat. But they're your person. Like Drea told Omer, Drea said that Omer was her dude. That was the only person she told about her knowledge is power, but he was like, no, she got to go because she's a big threat. And then he goes out the next week, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, do you value your numbers or do you want to get out the person who's in the lead? But then if you get out the person in the lead, are you in the lead now? And then is everybody else trying to get you out? Like, I think that's, did that kind of happen in 41? It kind of happened in 41. Yeah. Because Chantel left. Then they got out Ricard when they could. And then so it's like, do we want to encourage this, like, take out the big bucks if you know that you're about to step into mm-hmm. that role?
Well,
you know?
I thought that what Omer was doing in the season was so interesting because we've seen, like, where whoever makes the move ends up getting the target on them. But Omer was doing it in such a way where that then nobody knew Omer was doing what he was doing. And then finally, at the moment where, okay, they got out Drea, and then everybody knew that Omer was the person. Like, it was like, she says, like, Omer, it was you. You're the only person I told. And everybody knew. And I think that Omer really had to do a lot of, like, maneuvering to, you know, okay, let me work with Lindsay. Let me work with Mike. Let me tell Jonathan, you know, mm-hmm. to tell everybody what was going on with getting Drea out. That then I think he really got exposed. And the thing about Marianne, what'll be so interesting is if then, okay, she made the big move and everybody's like, Marianne, you have to go now. Mm-hmm. And then she has an idol still in her back pocket that nobody knew about.
Exactly. And to Omer's credit, they weren't taking him out technically that week. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like Mike and Jonathan were fighting, taking him out. Again, it was because, you know, their butts were on the line. Yeah. So I understand that. But I mean, technically, if the whole tribe had their way, Omer would have still been there. So it would have worked out for him. Unfortunately for him, Marianne was like, nope, I am not letting you slip another minute. And she finally was able to execute some power using that extra vote in order to take him out. So mm-hmm. I think it again kind of comes back to Lindsay not playing that amulet that she did all of this for, that again cannot be played later. Like, never. If you have an advantage that has to be played, maybe this is my tip. If there is an advantage that has to be played at a certain tribal council, even if it doesn't benefit you, play it. Play it mm-hmm. in such a way that you can at least get some brownie points. Even if you're already safe, even if the vote is not on you, play it so you can get the brownie points, especially if you're in the post-merge phase, so you can play it in front of the jury, so you can have a hand in what's going on in front of the jury. And I mean, even if it's kind of superficial, still let them see it, flash it, let them see it, because mm-hmm. there's no use. It's now a souvenir. Congrats, Lindsay, you have an amulet souvenir. And then
I don't think they let them keep them anymore, Mari. It used to be like that people would like get voted out with an idol and be like, all right, here it is, Rob. I mean, Omer did have the idol nullifier, but I kind of think that they collect a lot of this stuff and then they like save it for like Ghost Island 2.
Ghost Island 2, right? That's even worse. That's even worse.
Yeah.
I hope James got to keep his two idols at the very least.
I think he probably does.
I think so too.
Although, you know, they were on Ghost Island, so I don't know if they got them back to him.
Oh, or made another
Michael
set.
Yerger yeah. had one of them on Ghost Island.
Right. Mm-hmm. Just frustrating. Mm-hmm. Frustrating.
So, mm-hmm. all right, I have some questions from the Rob's Podcast patrons. Let me bring one of them from Mike Christensen. And I think this is a good question for you because, of course, you do a great job with covering the live feeds during a Big Brother season. And Mike asks that in Big Brother, there's a distinction between the floaters and the coasters, where generally floaters have agency while coasters don't. It seems like that's the way that Survivor meta era is moving. Anyone who is too big of a target, even if by the final six, gets targeted. Not really a question, but I'd love a discussion of this idea. Marianne hasn't really been with the majority most of the game post-merge, but has been tight enough with those in power to sort of know what's going on. On the other end, Romeo, who I think has definitely been coasting through the merge, is more of a goat. Again, no real question here, but do you think that that's the shift that we're seeing in the meta game? And what does an ideal winning Survivor floater game look like?
That's a great question. I think it kind of looks like what Erica kind of did last year, right? Like she was able to be in on most of the votes at the, what was that? The final six or the final eight? They formed that majority alliance once they got rid of Ricard. Oh God, I'm so bad at
So they got rid of they got rid of Shan at the final eight, and then Ricard, Xander, Erica, and Heather voted together basically the rest of the way until Ricard got voted out.
There it is. Yes, exactly that. Like, to me, that's what you do. And same thing, you kind of lay low, then you take your opportunity to strike. What Erica did, what Marianne just did, I agree. I definitely think Marianne would be considered more of a floater as well. Like we talked about, she was successfully able to like have good social relationships with basically everybody on the tribe, you know. And then again, be able to swing, sway, strike. Romeo is definitely a coaster. Poor dude. At this point, I guess it's whoever talks to him last or whatever the plan. They just like vote for so and so. Here, you go vote. He has like no mind of it. Vote for Mike. Vote for Omer.
Yeah.
Vote for Jonathan. He just is told what to do. So, and at this point, I think he knows it. Could we classify Jonathan as a coaster? I mean, is he's fighting for his life for all these immunities, but the two times he didn't have immunities, people didn't see him as a big enough threat to take him out. Like they view him as a challenge threat, but they don't view him as a social strategic or even a jury threat, it seems at this point. And the funny thing is, I think it's mostly because, you know, the only person who's really concerned about winning more challenges is Lindsay. That's why Lindsay wants him out. She's like, if he's out, then I win more challenges. Everybody else is like, well, we're not really winning anything, so we can keep him in. It's cool.
Yeah, I think it's twofold. I think she wants to win the challenges, but I think she also like needs to like have that as part of her story of like, I came out here and I beat the biggest guy and I got him out because, you know, of what I wanted to do. Like, I think that her game is really sort of like, at the center of her story in the game is, you know, I came out here and, you know, I was the toughest person and I won the most important challenges. And, you know, that's what I did to win the game. Which makes it, she's a fitness instructor and like it makes, or personal trainer. So that sort of like makes sense that's like her story. But the idea of the Big Brother, version of this is so interesting where I do think that the Survivor game makes it so that Marianne is able to do this. Like if this was a season of Big Brother and this was at this point at the final six, could Marianne be a viable winner? Because I feel like that Marianne is able to make this move with a split vote and she's able to use her advantage and get three votes on Omer in front of the jury where everybody sees that. And that's something that, you know, she can sort of like sneak up out of nowhere in Survivor, where I kind of feel like that in Big Brother at this point in time, like, I feel like that the cake is kind of baked. There's not a lot that if you are not seen as like somebody who's like a power player at that point, it would be almost like a pretty difficult to like have a big like come from behind win and go from being seen as somebody who's not like an end game threat to really emerging.
Yeah, very that. Unfortunately, like the dynamics of Big Brother, it's even just like whittling it down to only being able to vote for two people takes away a lot of the power. Survivor making it basically an open forum. Anybody is up for grabs unless you have that immunity. Greatly opens the door for maneuvering from the bottom. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, like you said, the jury is there. The jury gets to see those votes. You get to show vote for the jury. In Big Brother, the jury is sequestered. They don't see any of it except for the like the little competitions. And so if your game is a slow burner, if it's under the radar, you only got that, what, 2 minutes at the finale to try to explain your whole game. And some people just can't do it. So, yeah, it the mechanics of Survivor, we've always talked about it, is just so much better in a sense that if you want that underdog story, you will more likely get it from Survivor than you'll get it from Big Brother.
Yeah. Maybe the closest example I could think of just off the top of my head, and maybe like an old school Big Brother, maybe there's a better version of this, but I'm trying to think of like Nicole Anthony in Big Brother 21, which was somebody who was sort of like, she was outside of like the big 8-person, 9-person alliance famously, but then it was able to sort of like stay under the radar. And then I think it's at the final, was it the final 6 or the final 7? They had a double eviction and she wins. Does she win the HOH and puts, you know, Tommy and Christine on the block. And it was like, oh, big move. And it's like, okay, Nicole Anthony, and people were going nuts that night. And then ultimately it doesn't work out. But had she gotten to the final two, you know, ultimately the
it would have been great. She listened to Mr. Cliff. Hi, Cliff. Y'all should have taken Holly out, but whatever. That's you know, hindsight is 2020.
Yeah.
But yeah, exactly that. Like, it's so hard to do a come from behind style game in Big Brother just because the competitions definitely hold more weight. I mean, the competitions hold so much weight, especially the HOH, because like you said, you only get to pick out of two people. So that means the rest of the cast are immune, as opposed to Survivor, where it's one person who's immune and the rest of the cast is open season. So,
yeah, that's such a good point about, you know, Big Brother is you have to like win a competition and then also make the right move. Whereas on Survivor, you don't have to win anything. And certainly, you know, we saw somebody in Big Brother Canada, like who just did not win anything, and which makes it even more impressive. But in Big Brother, you almost have to like, you have to be winning comps and then making the right moves with the HOH and with the veto after you win the power. In Survivor, you don't really have to worry so much about winning stuff, but you do have to like, you know, make the maneuvering.
Exactly.
And you have a lot more options. Yeah. Okay. That was an interesting discussion about the two games. Okay. Grace Mullen wants to know, if Marianne wins immunity next week, should she play the idol on anyone? If so, who? And what about for Mike? Okay. So the two idol holders, should they use, you said about Lindsay, okay, you have an advantage in the end game, you know, even if it's not a big deal, play it for somebody. Yeah. So if Marianne hypothetically could win the final five immunity, especially if, you know, she gets an advantage, and then ultimately we saw Erica win this final five immunity last season, could Marianne or Mike win? What should they do with their idols?
Oh, I definitely think if Marianne wins, no matter what, they both should play their idols. Like, no matter what, they should play their idols. If Marianne wins regular immunity, play your idol on Romeo. Like, he is the certified GOAT. Like, drag him to the end. Like, no matter what, drag him to the end. If Mike wins immunity, he should play his idol, you know? I would laugh, and I think if he goes through with his promise and he plays it on Marianne, again, that chain reaction would be hilarious, because I think she should still, again, use her idol again on Romeo. However, Mike is Mike, so maybe he'll put it on Jonathan out of loyalty. I don't know. Either way, they need to play them. They need to play them. Honestly, you need to play them. There's no point of going home with an idol in your pocket. Again, even if it doesn't affect your safety, play it so that you can at least be flashy in front of the jury. Just play it.
Yeah. From Marianne and her idol this week that I really feel like that in the first 2 minutes of the episode, I feel like I'm going to know what she is going to do. If they come back from that tribal council about like, wow, Marianne just changed the whole game. Like we got to get Marianne out. Then I think that then, you know, that changes up how she's going to do it. But if people don't seem to have a changed impression of Marianne, I've been talking about that. I think that maybe the move for Marianne might be to get out Romeo at the final five, because I have a hard time seeing how Marianne goes from four to three if people think that she is a threat. Whereas if she takes out Romeo, the obvious jury goat, if people still say like, okay, yeah. If people see like, oh, well, you know, Marianne like got lucky tonight, you know, she's still like, it's still like, you know, like she's still a good person to take to the end. If she takes out Romeo, then Romeo goes out and then whoever wins the final four immunity might say like, all right, I'm taking Marianne to the final three and then we're going to send these other people into the fire.
That's a great point. That is a truly great point. You open up that seat. You, oh my God, if she pulls a Sari,
vote out Courtney. Yeah.
Vote out Courtney. Oh my God. That would be great too. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I would love that. You know, Romeo goes, it makes sense. Does she do that if Lindsay wins immunity? You know what I'm saying? Like if Lindsay wins immunity, and Mike has to play it for himself.
Mm-hmm.
Marianne has to play it for herself. Do they vote out Jonathan or do they vote out Romeo? You know what I'm saying?
I think that also the jury might be like a little like annoyed if you vote out Romeo in that spot where it's like, hey, like you idiots, like Jonathan like didn't win immunity. Yep. Like, what are you doing? Where... Mm. Like, I think it's almost like a slap in the face to the jury. If you like Jonathan is like, you know, vulnerable to be voted out and then you don't vote him out in that spot.
Yeah. But also, again, then you're just to me, it's saying like we're not worried about him. Mm-hmm. You know, you're just still in that same space. But that would be cool. I agree, because if you get him out. Then we have Mike, Jonathan, Lindsay, and Marianne in the finals. So I could definitely see if Lindsay wins, she's going to take Marianne, have Jonathan and Mike go to fire.
Yeah.
Do you think if Mike wins, I can definitely see him taking Marianne, Lindsay, and Jonathan go to fire.
I could actually see Mike and Jonathan like putting themselves in the fire also. I think that is a non-zero chance there. But I feel like that if they put if the target ends up on Marianne at five, even if she plays her idol, like I am worried about her at the final four.
Yes, but they also, did you notice in this week's episode, they like included, it was just kind of like a throwaway scene of her making fire. Like it was like...
I didn't catch that. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like a throwaway scene of her like making fire as she's like sitting in front of the boys and she's like, I have this great plan. The boys are not trying to hear it. And it's just a scene of her making fire. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, okay.
She's like a super fan. I mean, she's got to know, you know, that's a part of it. And I also think that there's a scenario where, you know, she's up against Romeo in the final four fire making and then, you know, beats Romeo to make the fire.
Yeah. Like just to say like Jonathan wins, takes Mike. And then her and Romeo are I could see that too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, interesting. Yeah. Oh, so interesting. I can't wait.
Should be an interesting finale. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
How about from Tommy Guam wants to know, Marianne changed the perception of her game with one move. Is there anything the remaining castaways can do to lift the perception of their gameplay still in the eyes of the jury? So, again, I took about Big Brother. Sometimes the cake is baked. Is the cake baked here, Mari? Like, let's start with Romeo. Is there anything that a Romeo could potentially do to change some hearts and minds?
I think for Romeo, he's
cake
he's
is
dead.
Done.
He's dead in the water. Yeah, I think he's dead in the water. I think he's of everybody, he's the most dead in the water because he's just. Unfortunately, haven't done anything, or what we've seen, he hasn't done anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, potentially, like, could he go on like an immunity run here and sort of like, you know, beat Jonathan and sort of like really like say, you know, but it would take like a Herculean effort, I think, at this point. I don't know if Romeo has it in him.
He'd have to like win every competition. Yes, like
you thought
out.
I was dead. I was biding my time.
I'm maybe back. Put himself in fire to take yes. out.
Yes. Maybe get the Undertaker like coming up out of the casket meme right. going.
right. I can't see it. I can't see that.
Probably not. Okay. What about for Jonathan, who is the oxen right now? Is there something that Jonathan could do at this point late in the game to change people's minds, where potentially, you know, you think he's got a couple of people on the jury who might be, you know, giving him a vote, like a Mike. I think he's got to get Mike on the jury. That's step number one. Roxroy, I think also like is like pretty impressed with Jonathan at points. Mm-hmm. So I feel like he can get to two.
Depending on how Roxroy took that tribal council though.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So for Jonathan, I think it's also kind of hard for Jonathan because even if he wins out, it's kind of like, again, it's like, well, that's what we kind of expected you to do. So did you do anything other than win out? So again, he would probably have better success going the Chris Underwood route of saying like, oh, I will make fire. But there's not a Rick Devens here, right, really, for him to be like, oh, yeah, he had to make fire in order to get that person out. Like, Lindsay, you know what I'm saying? I guess like you put yourself in that situation to get rid of Lindsay, but mm-hmm. then you still have it. But and that's if Lindsay gets to Final Four, you know? So it's like, do you, Mike? Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, I don't, even if he wins out, I think people would just kind of be like, okay, Jonathan, you won out, but you know, what did you maneuver to get here? Mm-hmm. Like, maybe if he wins out, takes Romeo, say it's Romeo, Jonathan, Marianne and Mike at the four, and he shows some strategic mindset and being like, I'm gonna take Romeo, the two of you have to battle it out. That might show a little bit of brains, but then again, you give either a Marianne or a Mike a chance to win fire in front of the jury to go to Final Three. So
no, I think part of it for Jonathan would be like the last part needs to be, I think he should win the Final Four immunity and take Mike into the Final Four fire making of like, hey, Mike is a big threat. I'm going to take him out. And then ultimately, like, that would be at least like taking somebody who would like be fighting for the same jury votes there. I think he probably doesn't want any part of Marianne. And maybe if it's him against Romeo and Lindsay, I don't know. I still think that Lindsay probably wins it out there in that scenario.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like it's, I don't know.
Lindsay
don't
has to like blow up like badly at tribal council and like, you know, get people at the jury, like really upset with her, have a bad trial around tribal council.
Right. Because even Jonathan, I can't imagine him really pulling out a, you know, a smooth
Todd Herzog,
yeah. At the end, like, and even if he did, what he's going to eloquently say, I won as many challenges as possible. Like that's that's it. So no, I don't think he can really change the tide. I think Lindsay could definitely turn the tide by like making sure she beats Jonathan as much as possible. Bring that up. If she goes to fire making against him and takes him out.
Yes.
Mm-hmm, that would look great.
That would look very good for Lindsay. That's why I've said I think Lindsay has the second best chance after Marianne still to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I completely agree there. So I don't know. Well, Marianne just has to try and get to three at this point, it seeming like. So she makes a show at five. But then at four, she has a target. So, you know, the Final Four is normally like, what is it? Like the one hand behind the back. What was it last year?
So last season, I think it was, I don't remember. I think maybe it was the ball thing
stationary though.
Yeah. I think it was probably the thing with like the move the letters around.
Oh, Wait, the
immunity? Like on the springy, on this wobbly thing. Mike Bloom went through it all. That it's basically only one of three things. Yeah. He went through like it's either like letters on a wobbly platform. You know, the ball, the spinning ball thing, or there's like one other one where your balls could fall like off the platform.
Or what? What about the one? Was it Michelle that won the? Was it this? Did she? Oh, win yeah, the kick the ball one?
Yeah. No. Michelle won the like. There's like a that was like the ladder puzzle, and then so I think that was like basically what they did this week. And then they have to like put the puzzle together at the top, and then she kicked the puzzle twice.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah,
but that wasn't a final four challenge. I don't think Michelle ever won final four immunity.
She didn't? Oh, okay. I thought she did. Okay. Yeah. So we'll see. I think that last one is always something like very equitable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how equitable if Jonathan is staying.
Michelle
there.
Won a challenge where she got to remove somebody's vote. And maybe it was that one.
Mm.
And she took Neil's vote away. I have one more question for you from Candace, who asks, is there anything you can do to prepare your body for the torture it will face on Survivor? Lack of food and sleep. I don't know if there's anything that you could do to prepare yourself for lack of sleep other than like start sleeping on the floor before you go.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that this wasn't in the podcast. I'm pretty sure I was talking with Adam Klein before we did the episode the other day about this. My theory of the case is that you should try to put on fat, not muscle, but like as much like body fat as you can. But there are different people who have different strategies. I've gone back and forth with Jeremy about this a lot. He likes to talk about this. That Jeremy feels like that you should like do the opposite. Jeremy feels like you should start like weaning yourself off of calories before you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I watch a lot of Naked and Afraid, Rob. Oh. I don't know if you're
Mari, let's podcast about it on Naked and Afraid XL coming back soon.
XL. Yes. It's on. This one's been challenging. They lost half the cast in the first like two episodes.
Why? What's so hard about this one?
They're in the Amazon.
See? So you think that people think it's so easy?
Yeah, it is not. So I am the number one. I think you put on as much fat as you possibly can so that your body takes the fat stores and you don't get as starved as possible. I can see what Jeremy is saying because I think it's a mind thing when you're trying to wean yourself off. It's like you're trying to convince yourself or convince your body, train your body that you need less calories, but that just doesn't help once you are in a situation where you are going to go into starvation mode. Like there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. Mm-hmm. Your body's going into starvation mode because you will not have enough food, especially in 41 and 42, and they're giving you like the bare rations. So if you at least bulk up with the fat, your body can still get your energy to do the challenges from your fat stores, as opposed to you're going to feel hungry no matter what.
Yeah.
Surprise. Like no matter what happens, you're going to feel hungry. So don't even think that any of this can prepare you to not feel hungry, because you're going to feel hungry. Mm-hmm.
And for Jeremy, like what he's doing, like might work for him. And I don't think it's too out of school to say that I think that Jeremy's body might be running on a different operating system than my body is. But my thinking was that I was just like, okay, well, if I can just like put fat on, like I was taking like drinking like weight gainer milkshakes and ice cream, and I put on like 15 pounds like in like a month to like go and play in Survivor the Amazon. I just felt like well, they can't, like this is like, I feel like this is like food I'm taking into the game with me that I have on my person, that I'm not gonna die because I'm gonna have like reserves to live off of.
Yeah, you gained 15 pounds, sir. You still look like a twig. I'm rewatching your season right now. I don't understand.
I put on 15, and then I like ultimately like lost 30 over the course of the season.
Jeez Louise. On Naked and Afraid, this guy, he ate tomatoes right before he went out there because tomato seeds don't digest in your body. You pass them through. So
oh,
he
no.
then went to the bathroom.
And planted them?
Planted. Yep. And they're sprouting. He's going to have tomatoes in like 20 days. So do that.
Wow. Too bad Survivor is so short.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Because it does. It takes like 30 or 40 days for them to sprout, but he's doing a 60-day challenge, so it makes sense.
Yeah. But I think that the people that run into problems on Survivor are always the people like low body fat people. And I think that could look, you know, two different ways. You could look like Jonathan or you could look like Romeo. And I think the both of them mm-hmm. are the two people that we see like running into problems on mm-hmm. on the season. And, you know, Jonathan really should thank his lucky stars he's not in 39 Days Survivor because this is day 23. Sir, mm-hmm. and you're like, I can't move. Like, yeah, imagine you had 16 more days to go.
Yeah. Yep. I agree with the fat thing because no matter what, you're going to feel hungry. You're going to feel starved, but at least your body will have energy stores for those challenges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, you know, like I was feeling, you know, again, hungry, but overall fine, like, you know, 30 some odd days into the game. Like Dina was like same thing. She was like fine. But, you know, Jenna and Heidi, not they weren't doing so good.
Oh no, not they didn't have an ounce of fat on
they were
them.
Ready to die. Yeah. So okay, that's just my thought. I mean, again, like I don't know how, like if Survivor is like tells people like, hey, like you know, you better look good when you come out here. Like they weren't saying that to me. That's all I know. They didn't care. And I got you have to like sort of like have no ego about it. Like it's like, hey, I don't like you know, if you're worried about what you're gonna look like on camera, like you know, you're not ready to win the game.
Right, exactly. Like that's
get out of your head.
The least of your worries. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Mari, anything else you want to say to our future Survivor players here as we start to look ahead to the finale?
Create as much chaos as possible. No, I'm the worst. I'm the worst TA ever. I would say for our future Survivor, players out there, I think being adaptable is true in any sort of reality TV format. Like, you can think that you're going to go out there with one strategy, but just be prepared to adapt because, you know, you should always work towards the positioning you want in the game. But if a swap happens, you know, if a twist happens, you know, you have to be able to adapt and move with it. So, you know, don't be so stuck in your head. Don't be unmovable like Roxroy, because that can definitely get you voted out. Mm-hmm. You know, just make sure that you have enough of those social connections and those strategic connections to maneuver or, you know, duck.
Mm-hmm.
Get out the way like Marianne. Just lay low. But it's definitely about adaptability. What like about, number one.
Yeah, 26 days versus maybe like a longer format. I don't know if it's been reported what season 43 mm-hmm. is going to be. Like, do you like I think Pedal they probably the tell the contestants before they go play, like how long of a game they're anticipating. Although I do think with Survivor 41, I think that they were supposed to play a longer game. And then because that there were some like logistics issues that they ultimately ended up doing a shorter one. But is there anything that you would say to sort of like change your approach based on like game length? Like if they tell you, okay, we're actually good. This is going to be 32 days.
Mm-hmm. 32 days. So that's a little bit more, I guess for when it comes to like the length of it, you just got to like make sure you are in a position that you can pivot. You know what I'm saying? Make sure you're in a position where you can pivot, because I agree. I get it. Like these new games, it's fast. It's every other day. It's like, you got to come out early, but we've seen in these past two seasons, the people who are on top, who are the game changers, the ones who are seen to be making big moves, they're then targeted for that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it might be a good spot to be able to help and dictate and be in on all the votes, but not be seen as the person making the moves until you absolutely have to be, which sounds kind of counterintuitive in a like a big move style era, but and me talking about flashing in the jury every time you, every chance you get. But I definitely think that you have to know when it's time to be flashy, when it's time to be like, yes, I'm the author of this move, and when it's time to be like, I played my role, you know, and we'll work it out after that.
I also think that, and this might sound counterintuitive, I think that you have a lot more margin for error in a longer game than you do in this 26-day game. Because just going back to look at Big Brother, how many times did we see, just going back to Big Brother 23, the vote was going to be one thing on Tuesday, and then everybody sort of comes to their senses and goes back to what the vote was originally going to be by the time they get to Thursday. And exactly. I just think with more time, players come to their, what are we doing? This doesn't make any sense. Because we're boom, 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 boom. Whatever is the newest idea, I think has a much higher chance to succeed here when we speed up the timetable, as opposed to people have a new idea and they talk it through and they're like, no, that's trash. We had it. What are we doing? So that's why I think we had a little bit more stability in some of the longer seasons, as opposed to so much turnover with the faster paced game.
I agree, and I think that's what Survivor wants. You know, they want the
making 8 days
moves. They want the chaos of it all, so they shorten it out. So it's tough out there. I do love that it feels new and it feels different. I've come around. Season 42 has made me be like, okay, this is the new Survivor. I'm anxious to see what happens in 43. Very anxious.
All right, Mari, I know you have a big podcast week coming up this week. I know we talked about the wrestling wrap up, but I know you got a big episode of Crime Scene coming up this week with special guest Jason Reed.
Oh, my God. This is going to be a great episode, guys. I'm telling you all this now. I like to big us up, but this is it. This is the one. Me, Sarah Carradine, and Jason Reed, we talked about the Netflix documentary. It's the pseudo movie documentary, Our Father, about a fertility doctor who was doing more than just implanting. It's going to drop on Tuesday. Again, please go to robhasawebsite.com/crimefeed to subscribe to the Crime Scene podcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at Crime Scene RHAP. That's seen as an S-E-E-N. And I'm telling you now, you do not want to miss this. Jason Reed is one of the funniest people I know.
He's having a moment.
So hilarious.
Yeah.
He is the moment, Rob. Yes, he is the moment. And when we got together and we talked about this, we could not. It's funny, but it's not funny. But we made it kind of funny while also respecting all the players involved. So it's a good one. It truly is. So please go check that out. Please go subscribe. And it's true crime, but with a twist. We're reviewing true crime entertainment property. So it's not, we're not about to solve any cases. You know, we're not here to talk about gruesome murders. We every week we take a documentary or docuseries and we watch it, and then we give us our ratings out of 5 magnifying glasses if we would recommend you go and watch that property too. So it's great and it's very fun. Okay. Check it out.
Check that out. And I believe we're dropping it first in the Crime Scene feed, and then everybody else, if you want to hear it first, if you're, make sure you subscribe, go to robswebsite.com/crimefeed for that. And then everybody else will hear it in our reality TV wrap ups feed a day later. Okay. So you won't be the first to hear it.
Exactly. But you want to be the first to hear this one.
Right. Especially if you watch it. It's on Netflix?
It's on Netflix. Yep. It's been on there for about 2 weeks.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So be sure to check that out. Mari, thank you so much for coming on and talking all this through with me on the Academy this week.
No problem, Rod. No problem, Rob.
Yeah.
I'm glad I could bring the chaos.
Bring the chaos.
That is what I feel like when it comes to Survivor. You know, thank you for asking me. Cause I couldn't do it. I couldn't. That's why I respect you. I can't be on no desert island. I just like to watch people be on desert islands. I love watching that, but I can't do it. But I hope I could help our students who want to do it.
Yeah.
Just bring the chaos.
And if there is a groundswell of support to cover Naked and Afraid XL, Would you take that on, Mari?
I would consider it because there's a lot going on, but I love Naked and
Tomato
Afraid.
Guy. Like, yeah, if you enjoyed this podcast, use the tomato emoji. Tomato, 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 tomato.
Ooh, okay? Tomato, tomato.
All right. And of course, check out everything. We had Adam Klein with a great podcast. There's a marathon with Mike Bloom, and I have some more special coverage coming your way this week. So be on the lookout for that. Make sure you subscribe. Robswebsite.com/subscribe. Thank you so much. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.